Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I am Puma. We are glad that you joined us today.
Yes, yes.
We are looking forward to another Name of God in our Name of God series. And so, Tori, it's really good to be here with you.
Yeah, it's good. We've gone over some pretty fun names. I don't mean to say fun to be like flippant with it. They're names of God, but really interesting and convicting names. And so we're going to do a quick review, Puma, if that's all right, and kind of walk through some of the names that we've been.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So our theme verse is Psalm 9:10, which says, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you."
Yeah.
And just the impact of names. Names provide identity. Names provide significance. Names are relational. You know, when one shares their name with you, you know, they're inviting you into a relationship. And so, like, the first name that we looked at was Yahweh, God's
Yahweh.
Personal name. So do you remember what the whole big idea was, you know, with that?
Yeah, Yahweh, you know, this is where at the Moses in the burning bush, and he says, you know, I am who I am. This is where God, you know, not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the God, the personal nickname of God, he comes out, this is who I am. I'm not some foreign, not non-relational. I am the God who is near, who is close. This is my name.
Yeah, God shared his name with Moses, and he said, this is the name by which I will be known by my people, my personal name. You know, really, God was saying, you know, he wants his people to know him, and for you and I, you know, God wants us to know him. You know, he's not some distant, you know, person out there that just kind of creates and then sits back and just kind of watches things and kind of zaps things, you know. So the second one, a name, Jehovah Rohi. What is that, Tori?
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. And we looked at several passages there, but really the big idea, you know, one, God wants us to know him, but with God is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, he wants us to follow him, that he wants us to know that he is a shepherd worth following. Everybody follows someone or something.
It's true.
Right? We all think that we're all independent people, and yet it's amazing. I mean, the advertisers spill billions of dollars every year because they know that they can influence us to follow and pursue whatever it is that they're selling.
Right.
So everyone is following someone or something. The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. You know, I want you to follow me. Another name that we looked at was Jehovah Rapha.
Yeah, the Lord who heals.
Yep, the Lord who heals, the Lord who heals me. Yep, and we looked at many passages there too, you know, and the big idea is that, you know, God, you know, calls us to go to him when we are hurting and when we have a broken heart. You know, everybody goes through pain and suffering in life. You know, everyone has, you know, ups and downs, days and weeks and months, sometimes years, sometimes the whole lifetime of pain.
Yeah.
And God wants to know that he is the healer, not just the physical healer, but of the greater need, which is our spiritual need. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. And, you know, and so, you know, these are three of the names that we've looked at so far. And today we got another exciting one. It's one that probably most people have not heard of. I'm going to be honest with you, because there are some names that are in, you know, stories and whatnot. But can you say Sikenu?
Sikenu.
Sikenu, yes.
You spell it with a T. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a T, kind of a silent T there. Sikenu.
Sikenu.
Yeah. Jehovah Sikenu. And we will probably, on the other side, tell you what that is.
Yeah. So let's dive into this word, Jehovah Sikenu.
Well, Tori, have you noticed that every time you turn on your social media, you get online, you know, or you check your phone, scroll.
I weep.
That you weep? Yeah. You notice how everybody is so agreeable and so happy all the time that everybody, you know, it's unicorns and rainbows and no one's mad at each other, right? Have you noticed that?
Nope. I noticed the opposite. If I want to see full-on rage and comments of just spite and hatred, I want to see people argue over little things. People get offended over nothing, right? I go to social media. That's the place of, I would say, disgruntled, continued praise expression of mankind.
Oh yeah, the old axiom that comes into my mind, and I don't know if this is actually an axiom out there, it just is one that I think about often, where two or more are gathered, there you have conflict, right?
You know, it should be an axiom.
It should be. If it isn't, you know, where two or more are gathered, there you have conflict, right? It's just amazing. Even people that really like each other, have a hard time agreeing. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody thinks that they are right. In fact, everybody wakes up every day thinking that they are right about right. whatever it is that they think.
Yeah, most people don't go into life waking up every day, you know, I just want to be wrong. I know this is wrong. I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. I mean, when was the last time on social media, you know, someone posted something and they said, you know, I'm just going to write a post here today. I know that I'm wrong about everything. And so don't argue with me.
Right.
No, you're not. You're right about some things. No, I'm not. I'm wrong about everything. I mean, no matter what you post, no matter everyone and their mother thinks that they are right. I mean, otherwise you wouldn't think it.
Right.
If you have a thought and you've thought about it or you have a reason for it, you think that you're right.
Right. You know, there's those rare few psychopathic people who know they're wrong. But you're right. Most people don't believe things that they know are wrong or they would change their mind.
Yeah, or they would change. And so our the name for God today, it's one of those names. It's Jehovah Tsidkenu, and it stands for, means the Lord, our righteousness.
Wait, you said our righteousness.
Our righteousness.
So not the Lord is righteous. It is the Lord, our righteousness?
The Lord, our righteousness, yes.
Huh. It's kind of odd.
Yeah. Well, it's, kind of odd. I mean, it's every name that the Bible uses for God, or these compound names, give us a glimpse into the heart and the character of God. And so they're always born out of a situation. And, you know, so like with Yahweh, you know, this is when, you know, Exodus 3, you know, Moses, the burning bush, all they knew was that their God was the God of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they didn't know his name. And every culture has their gods, and all the gods have their names, and the names have significance, meaning with characteristics that say something about what that God is about or what he does or what he can do.
Yeah.
And so all the different names in the Bible that the Bible uses to describe God are all born out of different situations, right? And so Jehovah Tsidkenu, we get that from Jeremiah chapter 23. And if you know, you're not familiar with Jeremiah, he was a prophet in the Old Testament. The people of God, over time, the nation after David and Solomon split into two different kingdoms. And so the northern kingdom of tribes named Israel, and the southern two tribes was named Judah. And the northern kingdom, you know, they continued to disobey, and the kings were all evil. And in about 722 B.C., the Assyrians came in and they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and deported them. Well, the southern kingdom still existed, Judah, but they had some kings that were good and some that were not good. Yeah. And they, as a nation, continued to pervert God's laws. They worshipped all kinds of idols, did all kinds of things. And God had told them countless times, and he sent prophets, that if you do not obey me, you'll be punished. You are going to be kicked out of the promised land.
Wow.
And you're going to be punished for your sin. So Jeremiah was one of those prophets that God raised up to speak to Judah. And it's not long after Jeremiah writes that, you know, Judah is going to be basically conquered by the Babylonians. And, you know, many are going to be deported. And so in Jeremiah 23, you have Jeremiah talking about the leaders of Israel and how they are not righteous men. They are actually evil men. They are unrighteous leaders, and they are leading the nation in unrighteousness. They are leading the nation into sin, how to sin, and yet the leaders were calling their life right. I mean, you know, these kings and priests, you know, they're not waking up each day saying, everything we're doing is wrong.
Oh, right, yeah. They really think that they think morally right.
They think that what they're doing is okay. And they have all their reasons for it. Hey, we're at the temple, you know, whatever we think. Hey, it's like someone that goes to church every Sunday and thinks they're right with God because they show up every week.
Right.
Right? I mean, that is misguided ideas, but people think they're right because of certain things. And so the leaders of Israel were doing whatever they felt like they were doing. In fact, they got mad at Jeremiah and they abused him and did all kinds of horrible things to him. They were, according to God, they were unrighteous.
Yeah.
And so Jeremiah calls them out. He says, listen, you guys are just horrible leaders. God says you're horrible leaders, and this is what's going to happen. But then Jeremiah says this in verse 5 of Jeremiah 23. And, you know, he quotes the Lord. He says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Sekenu. You see, God said, listen, you know, leaders of Israel, you guys think you're right, but you're wrong. Yeah. But a day is going to come in the future when I will raise up a ruler who will reign and rule righteously. And that idea of righteous is this idea of like morally right, a moral right standard, like a concrete thing. Yeah. It's not whatever one wishes or thinks. It is based upon a standard.
Yeah.
That is right.
There's a moral authority of correctness, right? That not just, my opinion's correct. It is, yeah, there's a standard of right and wrong. And Jehovah Sekenu, you know, the Lord our righteousness, who has ultimate moral authority and perfect in that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And we know this is true. As the leaders go, so go the people that follow.
Right.
Right? I mean, leaders have a huge influence. The Proverbs is very clear that when the wicked rule, people mourn. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice.
Yeah.
And just think about our own country. I mean, are there a lot of moral failings in our country? Yeah. Are there laws that really call evil right and call things that God says is right wrong? Mm-hmm. And we have leaders that promote these things. And how many people, more and more people, seem to think that it's okay? You know, and we, you know, it could go across. I mean, we can list all kinds of social issues. You know,
right.
I don't think, you know, this is the place to list them all, air them all out. But, you know, as I speak, you can probably think of many.
Right.
Social issues of lifestyle, identity, morality, issues about life and the value of life and when one can live and die, and all these things, all these moral issues.
Education. I mean, there's so many different avenues of laws.
You know, what makes a leader, a political leader, a good moral leader and a bad one? You see, as the leader goes, so go the people that follow. And the nation of Israel, the leaders were wicked and corrupt, and the people were a wicked and corrupt people. And the Lord says, listen, I'm going to raise up a righteous ruler.
Well, and I will raise up. So there's some, I will, a futuristic
pull here. There's a future that the Lord is going to do something. And this future one will have a name, and the name of this future leader who is going to be righteous, his name is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. You see, we cannot be righteous if our leader is not righteous.
Right. Well, and there's another prophecy in Isaiah about this said person too, which I think is so interesting, that because we're talking about this name of God, Jehovah Sekenu, being someone who will come, who is our righteousness. Do you want to read that, Puma, in Isaiah? Because I think that's a good tie-in to what we just read here in Jeremiah.
Yeah, we've looked at like Isaiah 53 in the past, talking about the suffering servant to come. And in verse 11, it says, after the suffering of the servant's soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and will bear their iniquities. You see, the idea of being right is, in a sense, the ledger is corrected, right? Because right in the sense that it is corrected all wrongs. There's no wrong there. The wrongs have been corrected. And if there is wrong out there, when the wrong is made right, then it is righteous.
Sure. Yeah. So, the ultimate ability to restore broken things.
So it's the idea of justifying or putting things back into their alignment or into order or the way they should be, you know, to be righteous. And so the promised one in Isaiah is going to be righteous. I love what John wrote in 1 John 2:1. You know, he says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, if anyone is unrighteous.
that's everybody.
If everyone is unrighteous, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, and John calls him the righteous one. Jesus is declared the righteous one. And, you know, theologically, we understand this. The New Testament is very clear that Jesus lived, died, rose again, and he was the sinless Son of God. Right? He didn't sin. He was right and righteous.
Yeah, perfect.
Which is why he is able to offer his life as a ransom, as a payment for us. Mm-hmm. So I love this name of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord our righteousness, because it is so clearly speaking to basically our core need, as well as the one through whom that need is going to be met or satisfied.
I love this name of God because, like you said, Puma, it is speaking a current truth. Yahweh, the Lord, He is our righteousness. And yet, at the same time, He points to the Jesus, right, the other part of the Trinity, He will become our righteousness. And so you see this beautiful picture of both a current and futuristic promise in this name, that Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord, our righteousness, that He will send someone to be our righteousness. And yet, you know, Jesus back in the Old Testament, right? You know, the Trinitarian unity of Yahweh, we see the glimpse pointing directly to the Messiah, Jesus. That's just so cool.
Yeah, it really is. And you see, you and I need to be right before God. We need to be morally right. We need to be morally pure because we cannot have a relationship with a morally pure, holy God unless we are morally pure ourselves. And we cannot be morally pure in ourselves.
Right.
Because we are sinful or we are unrighteousness. Unrighteous.
Right. It's like we have, in a bad analogy, but we have a test, and if we fail this test, we will be separated from God forever. But it's all in a different language, and we can't even read. And so we need someone to take the test for us and help us pass. And we have Yahweh, Jehovah Sakenu, who not only is righteous, He gives us His righteousness to make us holy.
Yeah. In the midst of Judah, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of leaders who are just evil, God made a promise that He would raise up a righteous branch. Jehovah Sakenu, His name would be, this ruler would be, the Lord our righteousness. And this squares exactly what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite verses, honestly. It's, we probably mentioned this before in other podcasts, but it says that God made Him who had no sin, we're talking about Jesus, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him, in Jesus, we might become, what's it say, Tori?
The righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God. Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord, our righteousness. The righteous one is righteous, and He gives us His righteousness so that He can be called the Lord, our righteousness. See, it's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. And when we know that one of God's names is the Lord, our righteousness, and that is seen most explicitly in the person of Jesus, the righteous one, we can call God, you know, my God, You are Jehovah Sakenu, You're the Lord, my righteousness, because You took my place.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, You exchanged Your righteousness for my sin.
Yeah.
And so You literally are that righteous branch, that righteous ruler that the Lord has raised up to rule righteously, so that if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we now can be called righteous in Your sight, and we can relate to You in a way that is real, in a way that is actual. Because it's not our righteousness. You are our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful, beautiful name of God, Jehovah Sakenu. It really is the cosmic contrast. I mean, you have the righteous one who became our sin so that we might be righteous when we are the ones who sinned, right? I mean, you have we so badly need to be right with God, right? And we can't be. And so the beautiful thing of this word is that the focal point of Jesus Christ, who came and became our sin, He gives us that. He gives us the righteous that we couldn't get ourselves. And even the Old Testament, that was His name. I am Jehovah Sakenu, the Lord, our righteousness.
Yeah, what does this say about the heart of God? So at the height of Judah's sin, they are about to be punished after decades and centuries of sin and complete violation of everything that God is and says and stands for, and the just blatant defiance and rebellion and idolatry. They are ready to be disciplined by the Lord. He says, your rulers are horrible and your people are horrible, and this is as sure as the sun rises and sets, you are going to be deported, you're going to be punished. And it's in that setting that the Lord says, but I will raise up a righteous branch and a ruler who will reign wisely, and his name will be called the Lord our righteousness. That the heart of God in the midst of the peak of sin and depravity of his people, he says, hey, I still am going to provide this for you, the Lord our righteousness, and my righteousness I am going to give you, and it's going to shock you the way I do that, because you can't do it on your own.
Right.
Someday in the future, you guys are going to have social media, and you're going to be on there posting, and you're going to recognize that everyone and their mother just can't figure out life, and everyone thinks they're right, and everyone assumes everyone else is wrong, and everyone's trying to be right and righteous by everyone and everything other than coming through me. And that is where we are today. You know, so as we finish this, you know, this podcast on the Lord our righteousness, you know, part of the AQ question is, you know, how are you trying to make yourself morally right, morally pure? I mean, what are you doing, or where are you going, or how are you trying to manage that? Because everyone thinks they're right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Everyone, not just right about facts, but also right about moral purity. You know, we don't wake up today saying, I want my life to be more impure morally than it was the day before.
Right, yeah.
Right.
No, everyone's seeking a validation of their own soul. You're up at night, you go to a funeral, am I really okay? You know, the afterlife, am I a good person? You know, and what makes me actually good? Again, that moral question, am I really morally right?
Right. Why do you think that you are morally right before God?
Hmm.
Because honestly, a lot of people throughout the history of the world, but even today, so many people are pursuing religious or spirituality, trying to ease the guilt of their moral, you know, their moral conscience, right? Their moral guilt. Because we all know that we're guilty, especially when we slow down right. and we stop eating Twinkies and indulging ourselves and binging on Netflix and whatnot. Just think for a moment. You know, why am I here, and what's going on? I have something that's wrong. You know, where do you go today in order to make yourself right, or to be right, or to justify your life?
Yeah, it's a good question.
You see, the answer is, the only place is at the foot of the cross, is recognizing Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us, so that in him we could become and be called the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Because one of the ways that God wants us to understand who he is in his name is that he is Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. So he wants us and calls us to be righteous so that we can actually have an actual relationship with him.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, yeah, so thank you, Puma, and just thank you, Jesus, for this name, that we need to be righteous. We can't be on our own. And yet Yahweh comes near and close to us and says, I am the Lord, our righteousness. I am Jehovah Sekenu. That's just awesome. And a good question, right? You know, where are we looking to be morally right? Where are we looking to be pure? And if it's not God, then where is the thing, the people, the opportunity that's getting in the way of us really accepting
the ideas that you believe to be true
to
justify your moral purity, your moral righteousness?
Yeah, that's a good word. Thank you. And thank you guys for joining us. It's always a pleasure to do these podcasts and to have you guys come along with. If you have any questions or concerns, email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We would love to touch base with you guys and just hear some of your thoughts and inputs. You know, maybe even too, like as you go through this series, what is a name or names of God that has really helped shape the way you view our Heavenly Father? Yeah, love to hear from you guys. And we'll see you next time, Fridays at 10:10. Until then, guys, bye.
Bye-bye.